You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone, welcome along to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, Series 8, Episode 33, coming your way this week. Kieran Burke and Gary Riley with you as ever. We're brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. And Gary, we have to start the show by sending a massive congratulations to Anthony. He's a big part of the Athlone Town ladies set up there, and they made history at the weekend with their first ever league title. And of course, they haven't been on the go that long, so it really is a remarkable achievement for them.
Certainly is. There's some great players, decent manager in Killer as well. So hats off to them. They were dominant over the season, so well deserved. And they're in the Women's FAI Cup final as well, aren't they? So could be on the double is on.
Yeah, they were beaten in the final last year, weren't they? Yeah, they were beaten in the final last year, I think, weren't they, at Lone? So
was last year. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So hopefully that experience might stand to them this time around against Shelburne. But you mentioned Kilduff there. Do you think maybe a few clubs would be thinking, give this lad a go? It's amazing what he's done there.
Absolutely. I think like it is a different game, but you know, he's been very successful there. Got to the cup final last year as well. So won the league this season, is into the final again. Lost some players, did well to hold on to Maddie Gibson, of course. I think she was the player of the match on Saturday evening.
Former guest of the pod.
Absolutely. So, it's great to see the Midlands team doing well, even if it is at Lone.
Yeah, of course, Longford do have an under-17s team now, so we're taking steps. We'll get there. But look, we'll start with, as we usually do, the most recent stuff that's gone on in the league, and that was yesterday. We're talking late Monday night. We're nearly into Tuesday now. It's a late one, so this probably will be a bit of an express pod. We're recording at this hour because, as we said last week, we're away to Helsinki later this week, so this is really the only opportunity we have. So it might be a little bit of a snappier pod this week, but yesterday, I would describe it as a Super Sunday, Gary. It's rare we get a game of a Sunday on RT, let alone two. So it was great. And the FAI Cup semi-final, it lived up to the billing. We thought it'd be a lot more one-sided than this, but Drogheda came through by 3-2. And then we had the Rovers Shells game after, which we'll come to. We'll start with the FAI Cup semi-finals first. Obviously, we had the game Friday night as well, Bowes and Derry, which we can talk about in a second. But we'll start with yesterday's game. Wexford put up a really, really brave show.
They did, yeah. They were, in one sense, on very unlucky. They did extremely well. Aaron Dobbs with 2 goals. The second one was not easy on the eye, obviously, but it doesn't really matter, especially in a cup semi-final. He did really well to bundle it over and keep them in the game. But I thought when Perreault went off that there might be an opportunity here. But unfortunately, the man that replaced Perreault put in 2 goals, so it was just a bit unfortunate for them. But look, really good showing in the cup semi-final for them. But I think even if it went to extra time, I'd say Drogheda would have had too much.
And Adam Foley, the Drogheda bail.
Yeah. But yeah, look, really great result for Drogheda to get to a cup final. Might be busy for them if they're in a relegation playoff as well. So, but look, it doesn't really matter. They're into the Aviva. That's all that matters. And job on Derry.
Talking to our friend Ethan the other day, fair play to him. He attended Maxie's funeral, and we were talking to a couple of Drogheda fans that travelled as well. And Fitzy was like, it's amazing, the Drogheda season. It could be like one of the best seasons ever, that they win the playoff and survive and maybe win the cup final. But they lose the playoff and be relegated and lose the cup final, and it's one of the worst weeks you ever had. So it's going to be a really, really interesting.
Very extreme options here for Drogheda. Are Longford the last team to get into the final and get relegated? Did someone else do that? I think someone else did that.
Well, Dundalk won it in 2002 and got relegated. I'd say Longford are probably the last team to get into it and get relegated. Unless there was an old demotion there for someone, maybe, back in the Financial Times. we'll have to check that. But just on this game, though, Drogheda definitely weren't at their best. Wexford, I thought, approached the game really well. It was like a really simple approach from them, wasn't it? It was hammer the ball into the Drogheda half and into the Drogheda box as much as possible. And let's see, can we put them under a bit of pressure? And they did. Drogheda couldn't really breathe in the first half.
Yeah, I thought it was a very... Maybe simple is an unfair word, but like a very... I think it was simple.
It was simple. Anytime they got a throw in, even in their own half, launch it as far as we can into that draw at a half and get towards a position where we can get it into the box.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. Like, we know Aaron Dobbs can head a ball.
Mm.
And he was probably unlucky not to score two or three against Longford when we played them recently. In the first half, you may remember, I think he had two or three headed chances and just couldn't get them on target. But like, he is dangerous with his head, so I think there was it was a very good game plan. Like, it really played to their strengths, which I know what you're supposed to do, but I thought this was executed particularly well. So it was good to see that they were able to cause a lot of problems for Drogheda, because I think when we were talking last week, we didn't really give them much of a shout.
No.
So the way they approached the game and their tactics were quite useful. So even like, would say, apart from that, like, even the way Dobbsy got the first goal, like, he was in the right position at the right time to get the rebound and just be there. So like, it was good play by him. Like, he had a really good evening, but it just wasn't to be.
Yeah, like, for Drogheda, it almost seemed like, and I think I listened to some of the interviews after the game, they probably admitted this themselves, they weren't used to being in that position where it was a big, high-profile game, and they were the favourites.
That's true, actually. Yeah, that's a fair point.
Seemed to struggle with that pressure yesterday.
Do you think struggle?
Yeah, I thought they were poor for large periods now.
Like, yeah, they were poor, but like, I think that was probably more Wexford putting it on them.
Even with that, you'd expect the Premier Division quality to... I when I was watching the game yesterday, first 20 minutes, I was watching Wexford kind of hurl these balls into the area, and I was like, you know, after 20 minutes, Drogheda'll figure this out and it'll settle down and they'll probably play them off the park. But that didn't happen. I just... Even the atmosphere, like, the place was packed yesterday, and I've been over to Evers Park so many times this season, and half the crowd there, and it's made double the noise. It was like everyone was just crippled with the pressure and the anxiety of you know, that cup final was within touching distance, and all the pressure was on Drogheda, because if they had lost yesterday, they're losing to a first division team, they're what, third or fourth in the table, it would have been a massive upset.
Would have been a huge upset, particularly at that stage of the competition. You know, like, if you're maybe being a bit complacent in an earlier round, you might just end up on the wrong side of it, you know what I mean? Like, and that can happen. But particularly in a cup semi-final position, when you're 90 minutes or 120 minutes away from the Aviva, you don't have the time. You don't have, you know, you can't let any of that get in the way. So, like, I think there probably was a bit of fear, maybe. But I just thought, I just thought that the Premier Division class came true in the end.
What about the other semi-final, Bowes 0, Derry 2? Do you want to start from the Bowes perspective here or the Derry perspective?
Oh, sure, you start with the Derry perspective.
I suppose job done into the final. The double is very much still on, but it's nearly hard to get away from the Bowes side of things here. I mean, it was just a nothing performance from them at home, semi-final, big crowd. And the bubble bursts yet again. That they were so, so poor. And the goals they give away, particularly the second one. I mean, the keeper's got to save that. Now, to be fair, it does bounce just in front of him. And maybe that old molehill that they've got there in the penalty area.
That mountain, you mean?
That's come to bite them in the arse, because it did seem to really skip up off the pitch. But it was a dreadful performance from Bowes.
Yeah, I think, but that's what we're well used to at this stage. Like, they have been putting in a bit better performances, maybe, but like... Even that, we'll say that game, remember, was it Flores that let...
Drogheda.
Yeah, and La Perota score from close range. Like, that carelessness that, you know, I don't really know what's going on. Like, you know, that Roy Keane line, did he think he was the only player on the pitch type idea. Like, did you think you're not in for a battle here? And I'm only talking about the Drogheda game, but like, there seems to be this. Oh, we'll give it a shot, but like, we'll be quite poor actually.
But that was
really
the thing. They didn't really give it a shot. Didn't give it a go at all.
I don't think they believed it.
No.
I think it's got to the stage now, probably, where a lot of players, you know, it's been said, like we'll say after the last international break, there was a lot of talk about like how Irish players hate playing for Ireland at the minute because they're useless and the results are useless and the performances are useless. And sometimes I would feel like that with Bose, where like we could take a baiting off absolutely anybody here. Like, very hard for them, probably very hard for them to see how can we get a result out of any game that they play, no matter who it is they're playing. So they're probably just going, they're probably walking out half bet. Like,
Yeah, they definitely look like a team that just have absolutely no confidence. As for Derry, they seem to be reserving their best performances for the cup at the moment. You think of their great performance against Shelburne. Really good performance here. Michael Duffy turned on him. I got a friend from our good friend Max. He was actually at the game the other night, and he wants to raise the point that have maybe Derry come through one of the toughest routes ever to get to a final. Pats, Cork, Shells, and then Bowes.
When you put it like that, and you look through the rounds, absolutely. Like, I think,
and no offense to Drogheda, not to take away from Drogheda, but you look at the games that they've come through. Haven't been nearly half as bruising as what Derry have come through.
No, absolutely. And like we'll say, even for Wexford in the semi-final, Drogheda were their first league. Oh no, they bet Treaty, didn't they? In the quarter-final. So, but like, they had played non-league opposition up to that point. So, you know, it was a handier route to that point. So look at, I do see where he's coming from. Like, they have gotten through each of those games, but like, trying beating any of them in the league is a bigger problem for them at the moment.
Who's going to win the cup final?
Derry will probably just do it on the day. They can't seem to get themselves up for trying to win the league or doing what they need to do. As the famous saying was, a Bradley used to say about every opponent that bet him, it was a cup final for them, except that was everybody he was playing at the time.
The only thing for Drogheda, it'll suit them again being the underdog, but I think I spoke about it last week. I think the pitch in the Aviva will be a lot more, it'll suit Derry a lot more than Weavers Park. And also, I think that the experience of Derry being in a cup final two seasons ago and Drogheda haven't been there since that controversial final against
2013
Sligo, so
Danny North,
that was, I was at that one, great cup final. They haven't been there since then. Like Ryan Brennan, it was great to see him speaking after the game. Yes, and by the way, he has been sensational in recent weeks and all season long for Drogheda. I keep saying it was the Duffer's not made many mistakes at Shells, but getting rid of Brennan was definitely one of them. But he was talking about, you know, how after that final in
2012, 2013.
I think it was 2011, I'm going to go. Anyway, or that might have been Sligo. But anyway, it was 2013, you're right. He said after that, like, you think you're going to get here every year. And he's not been there since.
Yeah.
This is Ryan Brennan that's played for some of the top clubs in the country. So it'll be a huge occasion for Drogheda. And I just wonder how they'll cope with that on the day.
I think Kevin Darragh, like, will have them well up for it. Like, both of them. Both of them played in the 07 Cup final for Longford Town. They came out on the wrong side of that one. But
well, this is only Dara's second ever biggest game to be involved in, to be fair. The playoff final was far bigger than this. So he'll
that's
be fine.
Also correct.
Yeah.
like, you know, COVID and Shells and
me and you there.
Me and you, yeah.
With a 2 meter distance.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I think obviously it's different for when you're being a manager and you're totally it's a totally different kettle of fish, but like, they'll possibly still have the playoffs to be thinking about as well, so they'll have a lot on their plate coming up to it. Like, I think would you give up the cup final to stay in the Premier?
I think you'd have to.
I think at this point, like,
something we're going to be talking about, are you just going to say about the UEFA money?
Yeah,
that's something we'll be talking about towards the end of the show, but like, the stakes have never been higher to be in the Premier Division. So I think you'd have to sacrifice the cup final and just let your fans enjoy the day.
Yeah, but like, do you want to have like the silverware? Like, they can never take that from you, but they can.
Yeah, like, I know we hammer clubs like Bowes for not winning trophies, so I can see. But I think financially, it's never been more important to be in the Premier. We'll get to that later. Let's keep moving through the Super Sunday. Rovers 2, Shells 0. And I thought the post-match interviews were nearly as interesting as the game, in truth. Duffer was doing his usual thing. He came out after and he's trying to deflect attention away from what I thought was another poor performance from his players. I know he said that he thought they played quite well. I couldn't agree with Duffer. I thought they offered nothing. Looking at the game at times, I was like, this is like watching a team. Rovers going for the title and you'd think Shells are fighting for their life to stay in the league, backs to the wall stuff. But he came out after the game, Duffer, and he said about Bradley's pre-match comments about the standard of the league, how disrespectful it was and all the rest. But I think he was just trying to deflect attention off another poor performance there.
Yeah, but like, obviously Bradley was talking about his own, like, his own team are included in that. It wasn't as if like Bradley's some pundit like us, not even pundits, but you know what I mean? Like, where he was just commenting on the league as an outsider. Like, Bradley's in there himself and he's pegged in plenty of, Shamrock Rovers have pegged in plenty of poor performances of their own. But I thought, like, I didn't see much of this game, but I saw the first half and I thought Shamrock Rovers were well on top. Had a couple of really good chances. Like that header from Sean Hoare should have went in. Almost a free header. Like, that was brutal defending. Total let off there. Shelburne did have a couple of chances. Like, Poles had made a really good save. Remember that shot from Boyd that he kind of swiped at?
Yeah.
So, like, they did create some chances, but I thought it was just more... It never really felt like a sustained amount of pressure, I thought. Like, there was a few snapshots, a few saves by Poles, but no really consistent amount of pressure that was going to actually cause a lot of... like, cause something that Shamrock Rovers mightn't be able to deal with. The post-match interviews, as you said, were interesting. Duffer is trying to deflect.
Yeah, you can, like, we can see through that now, can't we?
But you could see through it 2 months ago, I think. Like, there was, even looking back on that game that I commentated on up in Talca Park, when Derry had the defenders sent off in the first half, but Shelburne weren't able to capitalise on that. Like, it was a good defensive performance from Derry, but Shelburne never really looked like 11 against 10. And when you're trying to go for a league title and this is your closest rival at the time and you can't go and kill them and it's 10 men at home, I think that was the August bank holiday as well. So, like, it was, everyone was in good form and nice weather and all of that stuff. And they still weren't able to do it or get even close to it. And then on Sunday evening, then they go down 2-0 away to Shamrock Rovers, which I don't think anybody was really surprised with.
No.
And what's worse is Shamrock Rovers are 2 points behind them now with the same number of games played. Like, it's hard to see how Shelburne can pull it out of the fire.
No, they're not going to win it from here. They're third favourites with the bookies now. Like, bookies have Derry favourites, Rovers next, and then Shells. Shells aren't going to win it. They've given up too much momentum in the last few weeks. One win from 10. And I know people are describing it as a bottle job. I wouldn't agree with that at all. As I've said consistently over the last number of months, I feel Shelburne have overperformed for the first three quarters of the season. And I just think this is a regression to the mean now in the last couple of weeks. Now, one win in 10 probably is a bit extreme. That probably is a big underperformance.
Like, they're not, but they're so far away from what they were doing in the early part of the season. Like,
but are they really? Are they really that far away from what they were doing in the early part of the season? Early part of the season, it was all built on having that amazing defensive record and they were winning a lot of games 1-0 and weren't conceding many goals. But, like, it was going to be extremely hard to maintain that throughout the course of the season. You're either going to start leaking a couple of more goals or you're going to start scoring less. And unfortunately, I don't know if they're scoring a whole pile less, but they are conceding more goals. They're conceding the sort of goals like that goal they gave away in the game last week against Pats, where Paddy Barrett passes it straight to a Pats player inside his own box. Yeah. That's the sort of thing that would have never happened earlier in the season. So,
and come like, here.
That was always going to happen. There was always going to be a drop-off defensively or offensively, and the margins were so fine for Shells because they don't score that many goals that if there was any sort of drop-off in either department, they were going to be in trouble, and that's what's happened.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Like, and even when you have to have a squad, you know, that can actually maintain and sustain performances across the whole season.
But I think we felt in the middle part of the season when we were looking at them going into Europe and people were saying, oh, Europe will wear them out and all. We felt the squad was as good as any in the league.
But didn't they lose a couple of players?
Lost Jarvis and Malloy, who were going to be nearly irreplaceable, and I think they probably have proved to be. I think I heard somewhere the other day someone saying, oh, I think if Jarvis had stayed, they definitely would have gone on to win the league. I don't agree with that.
Well, he was their top scorer.
I know, but I just feel like something like this was going to happen with Shell. And I know I've been totally hypocritical. I said they'd win the league a couple of months ago now on the show. I said Shells would win it because they wouldn't lose enough games. I probably didn't foresee this level of drop-off, one win in 10.
But the goal difference is 9 as well. Like they haven't been
prolific. That's what I mean. They just haven't scored enough goals to be able to go through a spell like this and come out the other side of it. As I said, some people are describing this as Shell's bottling, and of course people are going to have fun with that and all the rest, and that's fine. That's the type of rivalry that's in football, and that's what we want to see. But an interesting one I want to throw to you, because this is something that's been floated online now at the weekend. Now, I don't actually necessarily agree with this or agree with it at all, but it's a theory that's been floated. This huge drop-off in form from Shells just happens to coincide with Damien. We're talking about Duff's interviews there. Happens to coincide with Duff's interview after the Bray game in the Cup, where Shelburne won and got through to the next round, and he came out and he absolutely hammered the players. Do you think there's anything to read into that at all?
Well, I was actually... There was a game down in Carlisle in the Cup, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was actually at that game. They were bad that day. There's no doubt about that. They still got through it, though. It's very hard for me to see that a squad of players are down in tools, if that's the idea, over interviews that were given or comments that were made by the manager after a very, very flat performance. When a lot of those players haven't won anything in their lives.
You've got Paddy Barrett and Sean Gannon in that squad, but...
No, I know that, but like, there's a lot of boys there that have won nothing.
Yeah, and as a group, they've won nothing, obviously.
Yeah, and Shelburne haven't won anything in a lifetime either.
Mm.
So, it's hard to see how they would pack it in over comments that were made 3 months ago by a manager.
Yeah, no,
I know it's their own manager. Like, I know it coincides with it, right? But, like, they've only won one league game since then. And that was against Dundalk.
I think it's a coincidence.
It's more of a coincidence than that.
Especially when the manager's coming out and also saying how much he tells the lads he loves them every day. Then,
oh yeah, and like, if they lose it, oh Jesus, he's going to be intolerable if they don't win it up there in the last season. And Higgins is going round Brandywell with the cup, and Duffer's there in the corner in the interview. I love these lads. I've never loved men more than I love that now. And just sick, sick. And not sick in a good way, sick in a sick way.
We'll move on to talk about the Premier Division game that took place on Friday night. Galway won, Dundalk won. We'll get to some of the other talking points around this game shortly. Yeah. My Twitter feed has been interesting over the last few days, but has the late goal that Galway conceded, has that blown any chance they had of winning the title?
I think there was... Like, look, it's not beyond the realms. Like, they're 11 points with Derry now, but Derry have an extra couple of games to play.
Well, they've definitely been welcomed into the title chasing fraternity, because as soon as they got in, they were in the title race for all of a week, and they filled the togs. So they're officially part of the club now with the rest of them.
Yeah, that's true. Like, that's probably Dundalk's first point in a couple of months, I'd say. Yeah, it's it's not ideal. They should have really closed that off. Do you know what I mean? And made sure of the 3 points. Fair play to Dundalk for hanging on in there and plugging away. It's not going to make any difference to the rest of their season, but look, they did a job. And I think we were saying there, or we're saying on doing before doing our own stream at Longford Town on Saturday, like all we're doing now is messing people up by taking points off people at home. Like, we haven't lost a game. I can't remember the last time we lost at home for Longford Town. It's been relatively a while, but like all our season is long over. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're just annoying people now at this stage, if you know what I mean.
And funny enough,
the
two loud clubs actually hold a big key to where the title's going to go. If you look at the run-in, they're both taking on some of the challengers. So credit to Dundalk for sticking at it the other night. Let's talk about what ended up being the big talking point of the game, and that was John Caulfield's refusal to shake hands with former player A. Dervin. Dervin was involved in a tackle with Greg Cunningham, and it appears that Cunningham unfortunately has sustained what must be a serious enough injury. His season is over. I know there's not long left in the season, but reports out there that it's quite a bad one. But what did you make of the whole what did you make of the tackle to start with? Was it a red card, yellow card? Did he go out to do him? Give me your thoughts.
I don't really think he went out to do him. It was a yellow card. Was he given a yellow card for it?
I don't actually know, but that to me, it was a yellow card to me.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a yellow card. I genuinely didn't think it was red.
I was watching this game along with the cup game Friday, and I was watching it in the office. And then when halftime came in the games, I said, "Right, I'll head home." And I missed the end of the Dundalk game. And when I walked in, people were going. I could see it. I just got in as the full time whistle went, and I could see A limping really badly. And I said to herself, "What happened to A?" And she goes, "Oh, he was in her." She saw it completely wrong. She was like, "Oh, he got an awful doing." I was like, "Right," but then I went on Twitter and I could see all this. Oh, A Dervin, this and that, and I was like, "Geez, he must have gone in and two footed him from the Killed sky." Then I seen it and I was like, "What's going on here? Like, there's not much in this." He's dribbling down the line with the ball. He loses his balance. And again, as you always say about referees, when you see the heavy touch, that's when they're going to be on the lookout for a lunge. And he's got up and he's overcompensated a bit for losing his balance and been off his feet or whatever. But he hasn't gone in with the studs. It actually ends up in shin-to-shin contact.
Yeah.
So it's not a red card for me. It's very unfortunate, of course, that Greg Cunningham has got injured. But for people to suggest that Dervin went in to do him, and people have been saying, "Oh, he's your mate," and all this, I don't care who he is or what he is. I call it as I see it. If anyone, he's not that type of player, and I know that for a fact, that he's never gone in to do anyone intentionally. He plays hard, but to me, he plays very fair. I think most managers around the league would agree with that. And I can guarantee you, if Galway hadn't conceded that late goal, we wouldn't have heard a peep from John Caulfield.
Oh, no, not at all. Like, the other thing was, if you actually look at it, I think Dervin was fouled because he was like trying to get back up and then tried to go in for the challenge. The reaction was unbelievable, complete overreaction. Yeah, like it's where he had a machete on the pitch. I'm about to do him. Like
I don't remember John Caulfield playing. From what I'm told, he was a fairly hard player himself. He wasn't afraid of a tackle. And we've seen his Galway team and we've seen his Cork teams down the years. You're telling me they've never made a foul? You're telling me there's no players on his team that have ever gone slightly over the top? And I don't believe I don't believe Dervin went over the top in his challenge. I think it was an honest ball, an honest effort to win the ball. And it's very unfortunate a player has come out injured. But that is the game of football.
That's a game of football. And Ollie Horgan going on as if he's saying, "Yeah. Ollie, are you joking me, lad?"
Yeah.
His teams have put more people out of games down through the years. And Harps fans can chirp at me all they want. They know it's true.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear any shite out of them. The idea of him going on as if nothing bad, his players have done nothing bad ever. It was a hard tackle that went in. Both of them were down for a good spell of time. Greg Cunningham, if he, as has been said, he's out for the rest of the season. It's only 3 games. There's players that have strains and stuff like that that are out for 4 weeks. That'd be the same for him. Like, it was a hard challenge. It was shin to shin. the way people are going on as if it was an attempted execution or attempted murder is just nonsense.
Insane.
Absolute nonsense. Two of them went in, two of them burst going too heavy, but heavy committed hard challenge. That's what it was.
The end of the day, total 90 minutes, that's what the game is about. You go hard, you go fair, and at the end of it, you look the other man in the eye and you shake their hand, and that's my honest belief.
Grow up, man.
Few other things to talk about from a Dundalk perspective. First of all, I want to give everyone credit at Dundalk that was involved in the send-off for Maxi last week. It was an amazing send-off that he got and that he obviously deserved, and it was great to be able to be there and pay respects, but we'd rather still have him with us, obviously. Unfortunately, later on that night, very, very, very bizarre statement released by Dundalk. And then we had, after this game, there was some reports come out about wages, which those reports seem to have disappeared. We've done our own research on this, and we can confirm that Dundalk players were paid last week. But it's just so unfortunate that these stories and all this off-field drama just continues to surround Dundalk. I know now there's more positive reports this week about fans. We've talked in the past about maybe the fans taking too much of a backseat at Dundalk, but it looks like they're taking steps towards forming a trust there, which is very, very much a positive step in the right direction. But you said it the day that the takeover was confirmed. They're far from out of the woods yet, this Dundalk club.
Yeah, very far. Like, nearly on one hand, you'd be nearly afraid for the season to be over, because that means that there's going to be a group of people sitting down somewhere, starting opening books that you just don't want opened.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to know what's the numbers that are going to be in there, because they're going to be massive. And they're going to be in the wrong colour. And, you know, you're going to have... Yeah, it's going to be a very, very difficult time. And, like, I'd say to a large degree, there is going to be a lot of uncertainty. So whoever's writing those statements or whatever on Twitter for Dundalk, they're going to be very busy boys on Twitter.
Yeah, that statement shouldn't have come out on the day that it came out. There was no need to reference certain things in it either. It was piss poor. It actually left me in a very, very bad
mood. Well, wasn't I right about the Twitter feed from Dundalk? I was right.
I don't know who was involved with it.
I don't give a shit who's involved with it, man. It was poor on the day. It was poor at the time. This idea of, like, it's like, you know the way, like, we know of players that search their own name on Twitter.
Yeah.
That's essentially what the Dundalk... Now, I'm not saying this is true, but, like, it looks to be the case that, like, I'm getting...
Right, we need to respond to every single rumour that's out
there. Yeah, exactly. Every single tool that says anything about anything, we have to make a comment about it. And you actually don't. You don't have to say anything.
Yeah.
And I think it was just not necessary, but as you said, and particularly on the day.
Yeah, yeah. Moving to the first division, UCD 1, Bray Wanderers 1.
Well, what do you really say? Like,
I think we just rattled through these. We love the first division. We cover it more than anyone, but it's very uninteresting at the moment. It's not going to get interesting until the playoffs, really. UCD 1, Bray 1. Cove Ramblers 2, Kerry 1, thanks to Cove. That left Kerry...
Rooted.
Well, Longford have to get their point against that loan first, but Kerry back to the bottom now.
Yeah.
Cork City 1, Treaty 1, and then Longford Town 1, Athlone 1 in the Midlands Derby. But, just another week of Cork.
Did you enjoy the final Clasico of the season?
It wasn't great, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Athlone, I didn't think, were as impressive as in previous encounters. Thought there was a bit of a drop-off from them.
Same.
It's probably good for us, but
I thought there was just a bit of they just weren't as tasty as they have been in previous games. I think the long throw-ins did cause some problems for them. They dealt with them well by and large, but like we'd say for Longford's equaliser, did it bounce twice in the 6-yard box?
Horrendously bad. Yeah,
like I'd say, like Adam Wicks had scored equalised for Longford. Like, I'd say he couldn't believe the ball had come that far. Like, like what is this doing here?
It's nice for Longford to score a long draw for once, usually to concede so many.
Yeah. Well, look, Dean O'Shea has an absolute launcher of a throw-in. Like, it's an absolute rocket, so...
Well, if Ireland are going to be at that shite again now, this international window, they may give Dean O'Shea a call of a lad that can actually throw a ball into the box.
I had an interesting weekend, but like, I haven't been able to think about Helsinki, and I know we might come on to it, but like,
maybe Jaime, yeah. You know the way he watches the game on is it Y Scout? He watches them on.
Fuck yeah.
He watches all the games. He doesn't, you know, attend. He's not going over to England to watch games. You know this talk that's been going on.
Oh Jesus, yeah.
Maybe he's mixed up the two O'Shea's. Maybe he was actually watching Dean O'Shea on Y Scout putting in long throws.
Dean O'Shea. That,
yeah.
I was like, oh, you're Dar O'Shea, you're the same lad.
Yeah, you take the throw-ins, yeah.
Yeah. Just as regards the first division, like it's like Wexford weren't playing. They're level on points with a game in hand over Bray. I think there's probably a bit too much ground for Finn Harps to cover.
Mm.
I think by and large, I think I said a few weeks ago and it hasn't changed, it's going to be pretty much the way it's going to be come the end of the season. But the one thing about that is Bray or Harps have to play Bray and they also have to play Wexford. So that could get a bit interesting for Harps.
Mm.
Like, they could pick up points there, bait to piss out the two boys, and then be into the playoffs, which would be a great success for Harps after last season.
Yeah. We'll move into the predictions league. Last week, we had Jonathan Naughton from Cork City playing for the listeners. And I'm delighted to say, for once, I came out on top as the top scorer last week. I got 8 points. You got 7 points. Listeners got 7 points. So that leaves the league table as follows. Listener still top on 171. I'm second on 146 and you're bottom on 130. But you got no points the week before, so it was good to see you getting 7 points this week. So thanks, some sort much of a revival from you there. We're joined this week by Ronan McGinley, a Derry City fan, and we'll go straight into the first division games. Wexford against Treaty, and he is going for a 3-1 win to Wexford off the back of their excellent showing in the FAI Cup.
Wexford against Treaty? Is that right?
Did I just say Kerry?
No, you said Treaty.
No, I said Wexford. I said Kerry. Wexford against Kerry.
Yeah, Wexford against Kerry. Yeah. I can't see anything else other than a Wexford win. They need it. They'll be boy. Look, there's some pleasure in defeat that they had at the weekend. They were on the telly. It was great. Good, you know, showing from the club. I'm going to go for... I'll say 3-0 to Wexford, and I'll say Dobbsy to score two.
Dobbsy to score two. Is there any danger of the old after the Lord Mayor show type thing here for Wexford?
Nah. I think there were two. They played very well on Sunday. They've been playing very well of late. I just think it'll be just back to normal.
Yeah, Kerry's form hasn't been fantastic. I'll go 2-0 to Wexford. And again, Ronan going 3-1 there to Wexford. Now, I am saying Treaty this time, so listen properly. Treaty against UCD.
This is down in Limerick, isn't it? So, yeah. I'd say...
They're playing all right lately.
They're playing all right, yeah, absolutely. Like, they had a good result against Cork. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Treaty.
Okay, I'm going to go 1-1, and Ronan's going 1-1. And we almost had the BTS special come in all the first division games last week. All of them were 1-1, aside from one of them, I think. Is that right?
Wouldn't be surprising.
UCD Bray ended 1-1.
Yeah.
Cork Treaty 1-1. Longford at Lone 1-1. UCD Bray ended 2-1. So we almost got the BTS special up in all of the games. I did say once upon a time, it was bound to happen once. The way it goes on.
Yeah, anything can happen once.
Yeah. Yeah, us getting a prediction right.
Yeah, well, I think are UCD confirmed in the playoffs?
I think so.
I think so. Yeah. So, like, I know they'll have to maintain their position because they want to be playing whoever finishes fifth and all of the other stuff with, you know, home advantage and all of that. So, you know, they'll have to keep it going. But like, I don't think they're going to fear anybody that comes in any of the playoff positions, really. I think UCD would have the measure of any of them. So even if they did come fifth UCD, I don't think it makes a bag of difference.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned this game already, Bray against Finn Harps. Harps probably have to win this to have any hope of a top five finish.
I think so. They need to start, like, the next couple of weeks are going to be absolutely massive for them. I'm going to go 1-1.
Right, I'm going to back Harps. Going to go 2-1.
Down in the Carlisle.
It's just that softness about Bray. They're always liable to throw in an old blunder here or there. And actually, Ronan's going 2-1 to Finn Harps as well. So there you go. Athlone against Cork City. Has the look of a game that could have a few goals in it.
Do you think Athlone could do a job on them? Give them the second loss of the season?
Not based on what I've seen the other night.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to say,
you know, how up for it are Cork? Not up for it at all, really. Maybe want to write the defeat from earlier in the season, but they're going to be playing Premier Division football next year, so do they really care? Probably not.
And they're without, and like, they've drawn their last three games.
Yeah, they've dropped off. All right. I go 1-1.
I'll go 2-2. I go 3-3. 3-3.
Okay. Rowan's going 2-2. Longford Town against Cove. Can I go first for once?
You can.
Because I'm actually going to back the Town for a win. Last home game of the season, and I'm going to go with Longford. And that hasn't happened too often, if at all, on the pod this season. 2-1 to Longford.
Yep, that Town. I'm going to go 2-1 to Longford as well.
And Ronan,
we're going to have a banger of a game.
Yeah,
Ronan. And I'm going to win.
Right, Premier Division is a bit all over the place over the next few days, given the international break. We'll start with the games Friday. Derry against Bohemians.
Oh, God. surely they have to do it at home.
Yeah.
Like, I'm nearly afraid to say anything about Derry. Is this game on RT as well, actually?
I don't know that, actually. I know Monday's game, Derry and Sligo's on RT.
Okay. That's where I might have seen Derry, excuse me.
We'll have to find somewhere to watch this Friday. Helsinki. Oh, we'll be back. Never mind.
We'll be back.
We'll be back. Great.
Yeah. I'm going to go... Derry need to do it. It's time to stop the pricking. Win a match that they need to win because Shelburne have a sicky one on Friday, don't they? Or
Shelburne don't play this weekend. These are rearranged games.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Because of the international week. Excuse me. Right. Well, look, if they win the game, then they can hear boys. We're still here. We're knocking around. There's something to think about. And then the other thing is that Derry won't have to be waiting a week for other teams to play.
Mm.
And then go, oh, we could have won, and blah, 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 all the crying that they'd be at. So I'm going to go 2-0 to Derry again.
Everyone's going 2-0, including Ronan and myself. Waterford against Drogheda. This could be a pivotal weekend in the, obviously for the title, but in the race to avoid the relegation playoff position. If Bowes lose to Derry and Drogheda get a result here, particularly a win, they are right up the backside of Bowes.
Oh, yeah, straight into the back of their neck. I'm not sure, though.
Waterford have had a bit of a drop-off, though, haven't they?
Oh, big time. Absolutely big time. Like the last team they bet was Dundalk, which there's no real achievement in that.
Mathematically, they can still win the league if they win all the remaining games, and they'd have to smash someone about 10-0 because of their goal difference, but... Mathematically, they're still in there.
Oh,
seven of the 10 teams can still win it. Unbelievable.
I think that's a bit much for Drogheda. I don't see them winning this game. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
You're going 1-1. That's what Rome's going for as well.
Actually, thinking about that now.
They've injured.
Was that just a bit of a niggle?
Don't really know. I'd say he'll probably be out. Drogheda have struggled in this fixture this season.
Yes.
They got hammering off them in Drogheda, their worst performance of the season, and then they lost. Were they 2-0 up on the telly, Virgin Media, on a Thursday night, and they lost the game?
Oh, yeah.
Could have been 4-2 in the end. Good memory. A couple of goals.
Yeah.
So they have struggled in this one. that game, yes, they would have took a lot out of them.
I'm going to go 1-0 Waterford.
You're changing your mind?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll back them to get a result, 1-1.
Right.
Then on to the Monday, and I know we never usually do this where teams are playing twice, but kind of we kind of have to really. Bows against Pats.
Is this in Daly? This is in
yeah,
Daly Mount.
Daly Mount, yeah.
Oh, God. Could this be a Paston?
Could be. If you can go to Talla and win 3-0, then you can go to Daly Mount and win 5-0, can't you?
Yeah, and more.
I don't think it will be, though. 2-1 Pats.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. Stop. I'm going to go... Are you thinking a 4 or 5-1 here to Pats?
Jesus.
Like you were back to Lyrical or tweeting about El Buzetti last week.
I was.
Like El Buzetti, Mulroney, Melia. Like Forrester's playing well. Lennon.
I actually don't think playing that well, but anyway.
He's playing better than he did in the earlier part of the season. Because he was anonymous.
Yeah.
There's a lot of players playing extremely well for Pats. I'm going to go 5-1.
Jesus. Would that be the end of Reynolds?
It's hard to know, but like I've been saying for a long time that they need to trust. They need to just stop.
Mm.
Player people in and out, and I see John O'Connor there tweeting that Bowes ended up last season with 58 points or something like that. Did you see that today?
I didn't see that, no.
You know, like it is a serious drop off, but also it's a lot of his squad, and the players that they brought in are players that they had before, you know, Tierney, Devoy, who aren't bad players, but like, you know, how many players is he
brought in? Do you think Trotter will catch them?
I don't think so, actually. I just don't think there's enough time. And like, I don't, and because...
And Trotter played Dundalk on the last day of the season. You'd have that down as a win.
Yeah. And who have Bowes left to play?
I was doing this earlier on. I should have wrote down knowing that I was going to do a podcast.
But I could say they're not going to win their next game against Derry.
They've got Pats at home then. Forget about that. Yeah, not going to win that. Away to Sligo is a tricky one.
They're not going to win that. And then away
to Waterford. So that's
and away to Galway then, or home to Galway.
Oh, sorry, I missed that one. Yeah. So then we're looking to Drogheda then. They are away to Waterford, which, okay, tough. Might get a point out of it. Right. A home to Shamrock Rovers, and like they've had joy in that fixture at home.
Yeah.
But again, it's not one you'd be expecting them to get anything out of. Away to Shells, again, you wouldn't expect them to get anything out of that. A home to Dundalk, so you might just be right. They might just run out of road, but like,
yeah.
If they get a surprise win somewhere along the way, if they were to beat Rovers at home, we'll say, for example, then Bowes could be in real trouble.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's going to be very hard to see Bohemians winning another game this season. And I'm particularly like, right, I know I went 5-1. Can I change that to 4-1?
Okay. You're doing a lot of changing. I'm going to have to start doing, was it Weakest Link where you have to lock in your final question?
Yeah. No, that was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Oh, yeah. Eagles. My point is, though, like if they take a slaughter off Pats at home, like that'll just break the rest of them.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? That'll just what little spirit is left in that squad, and little fight and identity and what they're trying to achieve. Because I actually don't know what, like, it's very hard to see what the Bohemians' goals are. Like, what are they looking for? But I would think that would break them, and that would finish them off.
Away from Bowes, it's time to ask you that question again. Who's going to win the league? Because Pats could... the way they're playing at the minute, like, it's plausible they could win all their remaining games.
Now yeah, but anything's plausible. Like you said, Waterford could win all of their remaining games. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
That's not going to happen, though. You couldn't imagine that happening. I can imagine Pats winning all their remaining games, but it's the League of Ireland. They're going to hit a roadblock somewhere. There's going to be one game that they fill the togs in. And I think you're right. The 2 points is the killer. 2 points too far back.
Yeah. And that's where I think they're going to just run out of road. Like, it would be just... Like it, I don't know how I would feel if Pat's winning from here. Like, how can there be like, you know, like where what they're fifth in the table now? Like that's 100 men ahead of them. You know, 25 men around the squad and the you know players that have like filled the togs to let Pat's winning from fifth with 4 games left. Or 3 or 4 games left. Do you know what I mean? It'd be just... I don't know how I'd be able to process that as a League of Ireland fan. It'd be very...
You're reluctant to give me an answer here, are you? On who's going to win the league?
Yeah, I think we should stop asking ourselves.
Because I've done a bit
I'm tired of it.
I tell you, I did a column today for a bookmaker and I've given my verdict on who will win it, right? So I've actually done a bit of homework on this today. So... Shelburne currently on 54 points. I am projecting another 5 points between now and the end of the season. That would leave them on 59.
Right.
Rovers currently on 52 points. I am projecting that they will get another 7 points, which would leave them on 59. They'd have the better goal difference. Derry are currently on 50 points. I think they will end up on 58 points, which leave them a point clear, short of the other two.
Just on that, right?
Yeah.
They have 5 games left. You're telling me that they're only going to get 8 points out of the next 5 games?
Yeah.
Okay.
Galway are not going to win it. They're on 50 points at the minute. I think they'll end on 54. And Pats, I think they're out of their last, 1, 2, 3, 4 games, I think they'll get 10 points, but that'll leave them on 57.
All right.
So... basically, Rovers are going to win it on goal difference because the last day of the season, Shells and Derry are going to draw to hand it to Rovers. 5 in a row, baby.
Yeah, we need to get the FAI helicopter now to be like floating over the border region. Who are Shamrock Rovers playing on the last day?
Rovers are home to Waterford on the last day.
Oh, forget about it. Yeah.
Drive for five, here we come.
I wouldn't be able to take that either. Go on, Anya. Go on. We have to stop talking about this. We just need to just let it happen. Just let it be over.
Finally, Derry against Sligo on the Monday night. Oh. Live on RT2, an earlier kickoff now at 7:15.
One of their biggest bogey teams.
Yeah.
Like I think it was like at Sligo's lowest point last year, like where they couldn't kick the ball out of their way. Derry come, who were doing well at the time, I think.
I remember it,
and lost.
Yeah,
it was like, what the hell is going on, you egots? Could this be a transformational weekend for Derry? Could they get 6 points out of the next 2 games?
They could. Will they, is the question.
Yes.
You think so?
Well, I've already said but they're going to beat Bowes.
They'll beat Bowes, no question there.
Yeah, 2-1 to Derry on Monday.
2-1 to Derry on Monday, following Ronan, who's obviously a Derry fan, so he has to say that.
Mm.
1-1.
Oh, Jesus, no.
Yeah, tog filler.
Yeah. And just on the topic of Derry... Was there a lot of what's her name, Helen Lovejoyness about Gareth McGlynn?
Oh, sorry, I did want to ask you about that earlier. Yeah. What did you think of that?
I thought it was great. Like I was like, fine, he's a Derry fan. Like it's like asking Stewie Byrne on to do commentary on Shelburne games. What do you expect is going to happen?
Is it any like what he done? Is it any worse than I'm not singling out Stewie Byrne here, but is it any worse than a commentator being biased? You know.
No, look, I thought it was a bit much. Like he not only did he hug him, but he was in there for quite a while and hugging and kissing every Derry lad that was near him. Do you know what I mean? Like, I thought it was a bit, right, lad, calm down. By the way, you're still working here, you know? But I didn't really give a shite, to be honest.
I didn't find it as offensive as other people.
Some people were really taking it to heart. Like, they were taking it as, you know, a proper...
I think punditry's changed as well. I think...
Oh, no. Go on.
I think, like, the days of the lads in the studio all wearing a suit and it's all very serious, it's changed. I don't think it's changed for the better, by the way.
Yeah.
And this isn't... I actually really like Gareth as a pundit. I think he's excellent. But, like, you look at Sky, you look at Neville and Carragher and that Egan, Micah Richards in particular. Like, they've totally changed what a football pundit is. So I think it's kind of more acceptable to do something like that now than it would have been 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah, or even that other fellow, what's his name? Daniel Sturridge.
Yeah.
Like, Sky have a lot to answer for the way football is these days. I think it's... I think there was much of an overreaction. I just thought it was a bit...
Well, the League of Ireland fans great at the overreaction, as we saw with the Dervin thing. Again, Dervin's tackle wasn't an executionable offence, and I don't think McLean's celebration was either. Let's go to the hotline, though, and see what our listeners have to complain about this week. Sam, how strong do you think Dundalk will be next season? Could easily see the likes of Anna Mishune, Kenny and O'Kane staying? Well, look... We don't.
What is that based on? Why would this day? They're probably on insane contracts at the minute, are they not?
I don't know. I don't know what them lads are on. They're only young players finding their way. They're the type of players, I suppose, you would be looking to keep, particularly O'Kane, given he's a local lad. But how can we? No offense, Sam. How can we answer a question like that? We don't even know if Dundalk will be around as a club. We hope they will be. I said it before, even if they're part-time, which you'd think they would be and probably need to go, if they can put together a half-decent squad next year, they should win the division. But I actually don't think that would be in their best interest. I think a couple of years in the first division is what that club probably needs to reset.
Wait, hold on a minute now. For example, if Drogheda go down, they're going to win the league next year, the first division next year.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a real question about that. But
they're not going to go down automatically, obviously. If they went down through the playoffs, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh well, then they'd be in trouble. Then they'd be playing for playoffs. But
I don't think it's going to be that simple. I think there's actually going to be an extended period of time in the first division.
Mm.
It's probably required.
It definitely is required.
It can be it can be rehab.
And even Stephen O'Donnell spoke about the expectations at Dundalk, how they needed to be realigned, and he was right about that. And a spell in the first division might actually help the fans with that as well, because the days of Dundalk challenge for league titles are gone for the foreseeable future.
Oh, very much. Yeah.
Ever greatest, when on an away day in another country, do you seek out the best kebab in the land or do you indulge in the local cuisine? And most importantly, where do you think Shells on talent should be finishing in the league? Is it a bottle job or is it just a regression to the mean?
Well, that's where you got that line. You never said that. I knew you pulled it out of somewhere. Yet.
On the kebab, we just take what we can find on away trips, really, don't we? We don't go Google mapping and that. We just, there's a kebab shop, in we go.
Oh, no, we'd have to do a bit of, you know, reconnaissance job on it, because
that would be early in the day, 3 o'clock in the morning. It's very much here. Well, lad,
yeah, who calls me boss?
Yeah, on Shell talent wise, where should they be in the league?
I think I'm not, that's very hard to say, because like all I hear anytime Shamrock Rovers are on the television is like they're a wealth of talent that they have, like all the players on the bench that are coming on, like. Where have all these players been all season? Like I'm not sure the question is, you know, I'm not sure it's that valid, if you know what I'm saying. Like, do you know what I'm getting at? No,
I do know what you're getting at. Yeah, but I suppose I'm just looking at the question in black and white. Do they have a better squad than Shamrock Rovers? No. Do they have a better squad than Derry? No, probably not. Pat's squad now is really starting to become star-studded as well, so Again, I think it's a regression to the mean. Peeps Nation, Rovers with another red card on Thursday, albeit in Europe. Has this been under-talked about, considering how close the title race is, that it may cost them, and how Bradley hasn't been able to rectify it? Their disciplinary record in the last two seasons has been horrifically bad.
For Shamrock Rovers?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, look, that's good. You know, they owe the league many red cards. I don't care what anybody says. It is an issue, but like, there is a lot of harsh challenges going in. Do you know what I mean? Like, Lopez and Cleary in particular loves doing that. Mm. Grace has done that plenty of times. I didn't think it was a red card or a second yellow.
It was one of the softer ones, all right.
It was extremely soft. Like, it was stupid. There was no need to give a yellow for that. It is an issue, but like,
but they've got such a wealth of talent that it's not a problem. So
yeah,
there you go. Yeah. Pat, after yesterday's game, is it not a foregone conclusion that Drogheda or Bowes would win a once-off playoff game? Just hope Drogs can win on Friday and put a bit of pressure on Bowes again.
I think Bowes and Drogheda are too strong for anything that will come up.
I'm surprised you're saying that about Bowes.
I know that, but
they're solid as a rock, and even when they didn't play yesterday, they found a way. That Bowes team could fill the togs on any given Sunday.
I suppose, yeah, look, they had to take Kerry to penalties.
Yeah, there you go.
The team at the bottom of the first division now.
Yeah.
But then they put UCD to the side, handily enough.
Mm.
UCD had a man sent off, though. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. Drogheda, yes, no question about it.
Bowes could be the Shells of 2020.
They could.
One out there. Pat Mitchell, if Derry were to win the double this year, would you consider this Derry team as better than the four in a row Rovers team?
No.
Well, we're always criticising Rovers for not doing the double, and this would be another year they don't do it. But I suppose getting into the group stages of Europe is almost like a trophy to them. So,
No, stop.
Financially, it's far better than winning the FAI Cup, as much as we'd all love to win the Cup. But
come here, can I? Well, how bad would it be if Bowes did get relegated?
Why would it be bad?
No, I just mean for Bowes.
Bounce straight back up, I don't know.
Okay. Oh, you're just pushing that off to the side. That's fine. I suppose.
But like, I don't want to go into you. You're a great man for like this thing of and this would happen. Oh, what a loss Bowes are to
The bullshit.
You end up where you deserve to be. So yeah. That's it. So the four in a row question. If Derry were to win the double, this is an awful thing about modern football. Everything has to be compared to everything. Like, why can't we just say, oh, they're double winners? They're the first double winners in... Who's the last team to do a double? Dundalk?
Did Cork not do it when they won the league that time? No, Dundalk won the final in 2016,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah, Dundalk did the double in 2018, and then they nearly won all the trophies in 2019, didn't they? So, it's not that long ago, but, like, when's the last time Derry did a double? There's not that many teams that do doubles, so, like, why couldn't we just say, these are double winners? Why do we have to compare them to other teams, you know?
Just let it be what it is. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Adam, could Shells be... Here we go. Could Shells be the worst champions ever if they somehow win it?
No, they deserve to win it. It'll be bad. We all remember that it was not a great season, football-wise, I don't think. There has been... Like, all the teams taking points off each other. Like, this is just the same. Everybody's saying the same thing for the last, like, 2 months.
We're sick of you.
But we're sick of ourselves. I'm sick even hearing this and answering this question. I think it's been fun to watch in a way. And it's been fun to watch teams fill in the togs at every given opportunity. And no one just going and doing what they need to do, and it's like nothing but pick ourselves up and dust ourselves down and blah blah blah, and we'll, you know, review what we did wrong and rectify it next week and still get pumped the following week.
Yeah, I don't know. That is the answer.
Cahill Campbell, the Wexford Drogs match yesterday proves again that even though there is an obvious gulf between the divisions, a one-off playoff game will be far from a foregone conclusion. We've already touched on that. Will McElhenney's cheating penalty against Rovers be rewarded by winning the league for Derry? I said at the time, I don't think that one decision will define the season, but the deeper the season goes, those two points that Rovers dropped look absolutely massive. I mean, they'd be they'd be level on points with Shells now, wouldn't they, if they had them 2 points in the bag? But
yeah, but if you know, if Meanty all stones,
yeah, they'd also be 10 points clear of Shells if they had played any sort of, you know, to their level all season long. So.
Yeah, and if you know that Waterford game against Derry where the keeper threw it into his own net or whatever that was,
yeah,
you know, it's just like if it's all this part and of if game. That. Yeah. It's football. Yeah. And you know, that's the thing, like the league table never lies. You play 36 games across the Jays season.
Yeah.
Don't want to hear about it.
Wang, is the league table actually upside down, back to front, or just inside out? Yeah, it's been so unpredictable.
All of those things.
And this one comes from an unnamed person, but I wouldn't usually read them out if they don't have a name attached, but this one's quite funny. How many years should A. Durbin be in prison for his recent aggravated assault?
give him the chair.
Yeah, massive overreaction. Before we go, quick word on our trip to Helsinki, guys. We are heading out there on Wednesday, game on Thursday. We're not going on to Athens, thankfully, because we were there last year. But are Ireland going to get any points in these two games?
I had an interesting weekend, so I haven't really even thought about it. To be quite honest,
Ireland 7-4 favourites to win on Thursday night. That is a horrendous price. Way too short.
Yeah. As long as if we know much about Finland, but I don't. Our
Timo Pukki.
Oh yeah. Or there's probably some other lads that we might hear about.
There's a few of them knocking around the MLS, but there's no one really playing for big clubs. But as you always go on about, like, it's not about the clubs, you know. Oh, we don't have any Prem players and all this.
Total bullshit.
Just on Ireland, like,
we need to get that out of our vocabulary when we're speaking about Ireland.
Actually, speaking about vocabularies, did you see John O'Shea's press conference today?
No, I didn't.
What was the exact term he used? But it was basically, I found it like he was mollycoddling the players, really. Going on about how
doing a bit of breastfeeding, was it?
What was the word? We're too demeaning, I think was the maybe word he used about the players, and he was going on about these are amazing players, they're playing at a really high level. I don't give a who they're playing for at club level and what level they're playing at. When they come and play for Ireland, they need to do it, and they haven't done it for 2 or 3 years solid.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear about how we need to be kinder to the players.
What?
That's pretty much what he said. It was like, oh, well, you know, we're demeaning at times about how we speak about these players, that we should be proud of the level they're playing at. That's absolute nonsense. Like, why are we hearing from him anyway? Why are we hearing from him this week?
Yeah, I don't know. I actually don't know.
I don't want to go down the whole John O'Shea thing again this week, but like,
no,
I wouldn't be certain of us beating Finland. I certainly wouldn't be backing us at that price. We've actually never won a game away from home in the Nations League, and I see we've only ever scored in half of the games we've played, so
Why are we going?
In and out job, best way to do it.
We're spending 2 nights there. It's long enough for an away trip.
Wednesday night, Thursday night, yes. Ah, look, we've done longer. We've done longer sentences, but
I just on that, like
we'll get nothing in Athens anyway. That's an absolute
scientific fact. Yeah. As regards,
this is a relegation 6-pointer we're going to watch.
Look, we're gonna get relegated. Like, I think that I was going to actually say, would you believe?
Are we like Dundalk? Do we need relegation? Do we need a bit of reset?
No. And I'll tell you why. Like, there is, I think, in one sense, we've nearly changed our DNA in the way, like, we said it before after the two games against England and Greece, where, like, we're not playing with any heart or bottle or intensity or desire. And all of those nice words that you want to see in your team. I don't think the players have it when they put on the green shirt. It
doesn't help when they've been told every 5 minutes they're great lads and, oh, Jesus, don't be so hard on yourself.
Oh, yeah. And again,
Way too much mollycoddling going on.
Yeah, if I go onto the FEI Twitter or Instagram there, there'll be loads of bunch of lads sitting around chatting away, getting their hair cut.
Yeah.
And all this other nonsense that you hear about in the camp. I don't know. I think I was going to say like relegation might help us in the Nations League just to win some games against anybody. But then I look back at all the friendlies that we, you know, had to, you know, what was a 96-minute winner against Lithuania and the place erupting as if we bet Germany. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, what is going on here? Like, am I actually here listening to this shite? Just a final point. A final point is, I think, I don't think people get annoyed enough about it.
Yeah.
They're too happy to, or, you know, maybe I'm wrong for taking it on board too much, but, you know, there was a lot of acceptance of getting bet 2-0 against both of them teams a few weeks ago. So it's hard to see where it comes from. Look, we'll go over, we'll have a good time, we'll have a safe trip and get out of it. And look, we'll be in Bishopsgate on Saturday.
Yeah, going to be a busy few days. And then we'll be back for another podcast because that was the end of Series A, Episode 33. Again, we were brought to you by QuinnAV.ie. This was supposed to be an express pod before we set off. But that was never going to happen. That's an hour and 15 on the clock now. So
yeah,
thanks for...
I tweeted that today. I said it was an hour and a half express pod. So
yeah.
There you go.
Look, we'll have a few guests on in the coming weeks to break up the flow of things a little bit. I'm sure it's a bit tiring listening to me and Gaz for an hour and 15. But if you're doing it every week, we thank you very much. And don't forget to subscribe on Apple or Spotify or wherever you're listening. And do leave a rate and a review as well. It helps us attract new listeners to the show. So, that is it from us for this week. And if any of you bump into us in Helsinki, do say hello. But until then, thanks for listening. See you next week.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.